This episode was created on unceded Coast Salish territories of the Lekwungen and Wissanic people. CFUV has been around for over 30 years. In that time, we have worked with many radio hosts, all with their own unique experiences and stories. I'm setting out to find how CFUV has affected its community and to get an inside story on CFUV's DJs. I'm Max Monday, and this is Behind the Mic. Today I'm interviewing Stuart, long time host at CFUV, one of the hosts of Alive and Dread. How are you doing today?
Oh, very well, thank you.
That's good. Back in 1982, Stuart joined the University of Victoria Radio Club. This was the very start of CFUV, when the station broadcasted out of what was virtually a broom closet in the basement of the Student Union building.
We were just a little tiny room down here in the basement of the sub-building, and virtually two rooms, a six-track recorder, a cassette deck, two turntables, an eight-track player, and a microphone, and that was it.
Oh, wow.
And we just broadcast to the hallways here and upstairs at the sub-building itself, and that was it. Before we had the transmitter set up, so it was just getting organized, getting scheduling, learning all those sort of very basic aspects of running a radio station, I think is what was going on. Mm-hmm. So,
how receptive was the university?
Very, actually. They really seemed to be quite into it, although I do notice that back then that we did have a lot of outside help, and especially in terms of the technical stuff. We had a lot of radio geeks from various other areas, you know, helping us set up with the technical areas, as far as the mixing boards and the electronics go.
Who do you think was your biggest help?
I'm not sure. Most of these guys were retired. Some of them came from independent radio on their own from other cities. There's one person I'm thinking of in particular. He actually used to phone in quite regularly and comment on the signal for us when we first went on the air. And he'd come in every once in a while and fiddle with things and try to boost the signal, get things clearer, yeah, give us some pointers on, you know, mixing levels and all that sort of thing. So
even before it was a radio station, it was very much a community.
Yes, it was. Yeah, there was a lot of community input, actually. And I know the first station manager who I'd mentioned before, Steve Labishnig, who now runs Fascinating Rhythms, the record store up in Nanaimo, used to regularly cruise the community to poach various people to get involved in the radio station. So beyond just the student body here.
Stuart was one of those lucky people who was poached. He was discovered by Steve Labishnig while spinning records at a bar.
I worked for volunteered for a little alternative nightclub in Fernwood called Rockers Cafe that used to do punk and reggae music together. We all DJ'd there in the evenings. It's actually where Theater in Canoe is right now. It was in that little space. And he came in one night and asked me if I wanted to start a radio show. So that's how I got involved.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Did he know of you beforehand?
No, he just sat in and listened to the various sets and got to talking to the DJs after the sets were over and, introduced himself and so forth. So that's how I got involved.
And when you got here for the first time and saw this little, windowless room, what did you think to yourself? Were you like, oh my God, what have I got myself into? Or
Not really, because I kind of knew there was enough organization behind it that it was inevitable that it would get bigger. And, I don't mind. I mean, I came from a punky little nightclub that was much the same thing. So, it didn't matter to me. I just loved the music and I was into it enough that I wanted to spread the sound.
What's the biggest change that you've seen at CFUV since you started?
Oh, well, I guess it really has to be, everything. I mean, the money involved now is so much greater, and the equipment is 10 times what it was, if not more, orders of magnitude different anyways. Mm-hmm. The mixing boards, everything is just gone, you know, it's a huge difference from what we started with. Even the transmitter, and of course going online is a big difference too, because you're reaching a much wider audience. Although I do think there's a bit of a contradiction there, in the sense that when before the internet, when we were on the air, we were alternative radio, and we were kind of an alternative space that Victorians could listen to, and we still are, and we are all around the world. But on the other hand, we're also subsumed in a billion other websites that are also, you know, could be considered alternative. Certainly very many of them are.
Totally.
So in some way we've got a bigger reach, and in other ways we're more lost in the crowd. So okay. I find that an interesting contrast. Global warming is big and
fell. Now it's summer. Stuart took a hiatus from CFUV for a couple of years to complete schooling in Vancouver, and then returned to Victoria in 1986. Since then, he has faithfully hosted Alive and Dread, along with an ever-rotating roster of co-hosts. What has made you stay?
The love of the music, I think, more than anything else. Plus, I'm a fairly stationary guy. I have a house in Victoria, and I love this town, and I haven't gone anywhere for any great lengths of time, so it's kind of worked out well that way. But I think it's mostly the music. I'm just passionate about the music.
Right.
And I know that reggae in general doesn't get a lot of airplay. African music certainly doesn't get airplay anywhere, you know, very often. So I think it's a niche that's always waiting to be filled. So
over the years, he has maintained a fan base. He often gets calls from adults who listen to his show as children.
Yeah, that's right, whose parents used to put on Alive and Dread, and who kids who actually grew up with it in the background and now enjoy the music themselves. I even had a phone call once from somebody who grew up, again, with his parents listening to it, but didn't really like the African part of the show, but it would always sort of suffer through it till he got to the reggae part. And now that he's an adult, he loves African music too. It kind of grew on him, and so that's the kind of thing that really keeps me going, is hearing that. I have three grown kids, and all of them have friends who listened to Alive and Dread when they were younger, so it's great to see that. You know, it's a real connection with the community, an ongoing thing.
Yeah,
so.
It's almost growing with them, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So,
cool.
You know, that's pretty cool, and it's fun.
You talk about community exposure a lot. Not just like we talked about it before, but you talk about it on the airwaves. Why is community exposure so important for independent artists?
Well, I think it's just generally getting known, you know, getting a fan base behind them is a big thing. And I think most bands start off with a very high local profile before it spreads nationally and internationally. And I think college radio and independent radio, period, be it community or college related, has always been a starting point for alternative music, I think, way back as far as, you know, the history of radio goes, really. So, you know, I think it's a fairly standard thing for bands wanting to get local exposure, and there's a cool factor involved too, you know, in alternative radio, I think. And that's the other thing that was quite strong when we first went on the air, because there was not a lot of alternative, you know, exposure for people back then. There was radio, and that was about it. Even television was pretty well all locked up. There was a community program here that was sponsored by the cable companies, but it was one or two shows, and, you know, it was very highly controlled in the end. So
why would people not want to just skip the community part and go right to corporate?
Again, I think if there's progressive values involved, if there's antipathy towards certain cultural and social movements that are in the mainstream, then they're not going to get played or showed. There's going to be censorship involved. There always has been. The corporate money involved tends to censor things just by its very nature.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, places like CFUV can bypass that a lot, especially with sort of base community support.
Take a stance, brother man, just take a stance.
During the growth of CFUV, Stuart has watched the station change in many different facets. One thing that remains constant, though, is CFUV's use as a platform for marginalized voices.
It's probably the track record that's been doing it for such a long time that it's really got an established name for itself in town as an alternative source of music and spoken word, for that matter. I think there's a lot of information and music on this station that you're not going to hear anywhere else, even on other community radio stations, for instance. I think they all have their own unique character, and CFUV is no exception, I think. And as the city gets bigger, CFUV's profile grows as well, I think. So I certainly enjoy listening to a lot of other programs on CFUV. So, And I think they have some fantastic programs. You know, Guerrilla Radio, for instance. I think that show could be broadcast from anywhere and be a first-rate show. Never got love from a government man.
Heading downstream to let me give it. What can I do? As Alive and Dread passes its 32nd anniversary, Stuart has tactics to keep the content he provides fresh and intriguing for his listeners.
Just look very hard for music and try to stay on top of things, I think, and also try to promote progressive music from the past as well, because we sort of have a roots reggae focus, and reggae has a long history of progressive music. And, you know, there's a lot of bands that don't get a lot of publicity, never have, but have had a fantastic history of talent and, you know, touring and all the rest of it. So that's the other interesting thing about what it was like before the internet, is it was always very hard to find music, and it was a real hunt. You had to go to Vancouver, scoop in the record stores, you go into all the, you know, Sally Ann's and all the used places and try to make it hit luck, you know, in terms of what was there, mail order, all that sort of thing. It was hard. It was very hard to find good independent music. Nowadays, you can just go online and download in an instant, and the difference is just incredible, really.
Totally.
So part of the hunt was the fun part, actually, before.
How do you keep it fun for yourself?
Again, I'm so passionate about the music that, you know, I've amassed a pretty massive database of songs, and I just like to mix it up. I do themes. I just have fun. I just have fun with it. I enjoy playing progressive music. I enjoy both the music for itself and also for what it transmits in terms of cultural values and so forth, too, which, again, there's a lot of progressive music in African and reggae music that promotes all kinds of values that I believe in. So,
Stuart shows no signs of stopping the train of Alive and Dread. His show has been revered for the past 30 years and will continue to pick up new fans and delight longtime listeners with his extensive collection of roots and reggae music. We will leave you today with All in My Hands by Dub Princess. I want to focus on the parts of things I find instead. Would it have been worth my while? This episode of Behind the Mic included a conversation with Stuart, host of Alive and Dread, which airs on Saturdays from 7 to 9 p.m. For more episodes of Behind the Mic, visit soundcloud.com/CFUV. All of the love we're yet to receive, it's all in my hands. Now, 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 now. It's all in my hands.